My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth. As part of the Secret Recordings Network, you can follow us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. We are at Pod Magical. Make sure you give us a follow, give us a like. You can follow us for all the latest news between now and then. If you want to be a podcast guest, you can get in touch. And also, if you've got any questions when it comes to planning your Walt Disney World trips, I'll do my best to answer. Marie has sent me a message on Facebook. Question: Andy, my boyfriend recently proposed and we would like to honeymoon in Walt Disney World. Congratulations. We want to stay on site and we wondered which resorts are good for honeymooning, or are there any room upgrades or anything that we can do to make it a little bit extra special? Well, Marie, you can't. I mean, depends what your budget is. I mean, if you've got a budget that goes wild, if you go to the Disney Honeymoons section on Disney's Fairy Tale Weddings, so DisneyWeddings.com, where you can plan your weddings in Walt Disney World. They also do honeymoons as well. So if you want to really go extravagant, or you just want a bit of inspiration, you can have a look on that website. When it comes to staying in hotels, well, obviously, the ultimate honeymoon resort will be Grand Floridian with a theme park view. Then you can see the castle. You could go to the Yacht and Beach Club or Boardwalk, which are right next door to Epcot or Swan and Dolphin, one of those resorts. They're quite nice for honeymooning. If your budget's not quite that much, you want to stay moderate, maybe it's worth looking at Grand Destino Tower, which is part of Coronado Springs. That's quite a nice honeymoon hotel. So there are a few places you can stay depending on your budget. Things to do, well, obviously, make sure that everybody knows you're on your honeymoon when it comes to booking the hotel. Make sure your travel agent is telling everybody, from the airlines to the hotels to Disney to restaurant reservations. Everybody's got to know. Get your pin badge. Make sure everybody knows. Something a little bit different you could do, actually. Obviously, you're going to be planning a few romantic meals, which would be very nice. You can have a look on the Disney website to see which ones take your fancy. Some of the nicer, I mean, Victoria and Albert's, if you've made money, or if you're not made money, then California Grill, or even that's still a little bit too expensive, maybe Ohana or somewhere like that. There's so many great places to eat, and if you go in the evening, then it's quite nice. Maybe Ohana when the fireworks are on, that's quite a nice place to go for a dinner. Or maybe you could hire a photo pass photographer. You can hire them out for like half an hour at a time around the theme parks, so maybe you could do that. Maybe hire a photographer for a half an hour when you're at Magic Kingdom, get some nice loved up pictures around the castle, and get that pin badge. Make sure everybody knows you're on your honeymoon. Milk it. Get the most out of it. Any questions for the podcast? As I say, you can drop me a message at Pod Magical across all the socials. And if you'd like to be a podcast guest, send me a message. We're always looking to talk to people who love Walt Disney World. I mean, that's what this podcast's about. So let's get chatting Disney then, shall we? Bethany, who's on this episode of the podcast to talk about Walt Disney World and the hotel with the parrot in the lobby. We'll come back to that in a very short while, Bethany. Quite excited to hear about that. Why do you love Walt Disney World then?
It's my second home, so I'm quite a home bird, and when I'm at Disney World, it's like the only other place where I just feel like I am at home. And also, like, the cast members, I just love how they make, like, the magical moments, and they just make it as well as everything else.
Those little moments, little things that they do. Have you ever had a favourite cast member moment that you can think of?
Yeah, I mean, when I last went with my boyfriend a couple of years ago, it was nothing really out of the ordinary. We were just chatting to the monorail person while I was waiting for a monorail to come in. And he was just asking us, obviously, have we enjoyed our holiday? And I think it was our second to last day before we went home. And he gave us fast passes for the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, because we'd mentioned we hadn't been able to get on because the queue was so long. And say we'd literally done nothing apart from just have a conversation with him, and he did that, and it just made our holiday.
Do you know what? It's just being nice. Yeah. To people. Because they probably do get a lot of hassle throughout the day for things that are actually not their responsibility. But so having a chat to somebody who's just nice, they can do nice things for you. So be nice to cast members. So when was that then? When was the last time you went, did you say?
The last time I went was September 2018. So it feels like ages ago now.
It was BC, before COVID.
Yeah, BC.
And I'm guessing you had a cancellation because of COVID.
Yes, yeah, we was meant to go in May 2020. So when COVID first got announced, I think February, March, I was really optimistic, like, oh, we'll be fine in May, it's ages away. And then obviously
it's only a few
not.
Weeks, it'll blow over.
Yeah, I was like, oh no, it won't affect us, we'll be fine. So they're closing for a few weeks.
Yeah.
But no.
And then there we were, months later. So you have rebooked, though?
Yeah, we've rebooked, so we're going May this year now, fingers crossed. I can't take it if
just
we can't
a few
go
months.
Again.
Oh, no, I think you'll be fine this time. You've got to be fine this time. So let's rewind, Bethany, to the first time you went to Walt Disney World. What do you remember about your first ever visit?
Well, it was in 1999 and I was four, so it was quite a long time ago now. But I went with my parents and my brother and sister. I remember stepping out of the airport and just being so hot and just feeling that humidity. And then at Disney, I think because I was so young, I was just fascinated by everything. I do remember them being petrified of Goofy because it was so big. So we always had to avoid Goofy at any character meals. So, yeah.
Are you good
terrified.
With Goofy now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's even like tried to propose to me, so we're definitely all good.
Oh, is he? He's changed his tune, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And do you have a particular favourite memory from all the times you've been? You probably don't remember much from when you were four, but in the time since, has there been any standout moments on your holidays?
Yeah, I mean, when I went one time with just my parents, we were just walking through Animal Kingdom, minding our own business, and then one of the cast members asked if we wanted to be in the Jamming Jungle Parade. So I was like, in my element. So I think we had like a fast pass for like Kilimanjaro Safari or something, but at that time, because we'd already been before, we just really weren't bothered. The fact that we got asked to be in the parade was like the best thing ever. So it was,
it's weird you should mention that, because I woke up the other day with the music from the Jamming Jungle Parade in my Jamming in the Jungle.
Yeah.
And it's because like this, I think it was the first time I went, and I think every park had a parade.
Yeah,
Animal Kingdom had the Jamming Jungle, and the Epcot had the Tapestry of Nations and Stars in Their Cars at Hollywood Studios.
What do you remember
What do you remember about the Animal Kingdom Parade then? And what was your part in it? What did you have to do?
Well, we actually was on one of the floats. I think it were either a hippo or a crocodile, two very different ones. But I remember they sort of took us backstage and put us on the floats. So there was me and my mum and dad sat on the float waving to people. And behind us was like Minnie Mouse in her little safari outfit. I remember just waving, turning around and waving to like Minnie nearly the whole time. And we've got a picture of us on the float and everything, so yeah, it was the best memory ever.
What an amazing thing to say, I was in a parade at Walt Disney World.
And an extinct parade as well, because I absolutely loved that parade, so I wish I'd bring it back.
I wonder whether they could actually, because it's like there seems to be more people in the parks now than then. I wonder whether that's why they don't do them at like Animal Kingdom and Epcot, because like there's no way of getting, because I'm trying to think, like, you know, on a Friday night you would never get a parade around the World Showcase at Epcot.
No, and I think it's, I don't think it's too many Animal people. Kingdom, I don't know if it's anything to do with them deciding to build like Avatar, I'm not sure, but I just loved that parade.
Yeah, maybe.
It was so jolly, and yeah, I loved it.
It was really, have you got any photographs of that, of you in the parade?
Yeah, well, I've got a couple of photographs. I'll have to dig them out and put them on my Instagram.
Yeah, we'll put them on, send them over, we'll put them on our Instagram as well, Pop
definitely.
Magical, and we can have a look at you in the Jamming Jungle Parade, Bethany.
Yes.
can't wait. Go on, as we're talking about animals, by the way, you mentioned earlier on, we mentioned about a parrot in the lobby. So you don't stay at Disney hotels, do you?
No, so we always stay off property, and we stay at the Sheraton Lake Buena Vista, but it used to be called the Sheraton Safari. So yeah, it used to be all decked out in safari themed, to the point they even had a parrot in the lobby and actually flying around in the lobby sometimes as well, not just in like a cage.
Wow.
So it was very out there, but yeah, they've tried to make it more modern now for conferences, but I actually low-key preferred the safari theme.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. And is that where you're staying this May?
Yes, yeah. I mean, to be fair, like, my dream is to stay on Disney property, but I've got quite high standards. So if I did, I'd want to stay in the Contemporary or the Polynesian, mentioned and not cheeks. So.
Not messing around, straight to the top.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to stay at World of Sport. Forget that one. I'm straight, grand flow or nothing, if you don't mind.
So yeah, I'll have to save up a few dollars first. But yeah, so we love where we stay. We always stay there every year and the staff even know us now, so.
Oh, brilliant. That makes it like more home from home, doesn't it?
Definitely.
And how do you get around when you stay there then? Because obviously, if you're staying at Disney, you've got the Disney transportation or take you to the parks. Do they have shuttles and things?
Yeah, so we don't hire a car, but they are classed as one of the Disney Good Neighbor hotels. So they have these shuttles to the four Disney parks. So we always use them. And then we just get Uber or Lyft, really, too, if we go to Universal, SeaWorld, shopping, anything like that, because it's cheap enough as well.
Yeah. And do you get any other perks by staying at a Good Neighbour hotel? Because obviously you're staying at Disney, you're getting in half an hour early at all the parks. Is there anything else you get there?
I mean, you can get like your tickets from there and everything, but to be fair, we tend to shop around before we go anywhere. Unlike Orlando attractions, we normally use them for our tickets. But yeah, it's mainly the transportation that's the perk.
So you book everything separately, your flight separately, hotel separately, tickets separately to get the best deal?
Yeah, I mean, we do shop around, so we always try and get a price maybe from like Virgin Holidays first, but then we have a look at a lot of the more independent travel agents as well, because they seem to get a cheaper price, and then we always book our tickets separately as well.
But you always use a travel agent when you book?
Yeah, we do. Although I have signed up to the Virgin Miles to try and get some free flights in the future. So if I get enough for a free flight, I might try book it separately then and get a cheaper hotel.
See how you get on with that. And then when you stay in there, do you mostly just go to Disney or do you like to venture around Orlando? Do you go to anywhere else?
Yeah, we do. We have actually a friend that lives in Florida. They live in Melbourne, so just about an hour outside of Orlando. So we always meet up with them and they take us to like non-tourist places like Melbourne Beach, because I know a lot of people go to Cocoa Beach. So they've taken us to Melbourne Beach, which was really nice and really quiet. But then we also go to Universal and SeaWorld, Aquatica. So we do like the normal touristy things as well.
Get it all in while you're there.
Yeah, jam-packed.
Cram it all in. Yeah. It's Bethany who's on this episode of the podcast. You've got your perfect 24 hours at Disney still to come, but we're going to get a quick stop for the news first of all. Okay, Bethany?
No problem.
There's a few nice stories to squeeze in for this episode of the podcast, because there's quite a bit of live entertainment coming back to the Magic Kingdom, including the Disney Adventure Friends Cavalcade. Remember, the cavalcade started after the pandemic when the parks first reopened. They weren't doing the parade, they were doing cavalcades instead. It's becoming a permanent feature and it's back from February the 11th with lots of new characters, including the three Caballeros making an appearance, characters from the Jungle Book, Miguel from Coco makes his debut. In fact, there's about 30 of your favourite Disney and Pixar friends doing the cavalcades throughout Magic Kingdom. That is back from February the 11th. I think they're doing that instead of Move It, Shake It, Mouse Go Dance It. I just got a feeling. Also, the Castle Show returns as well from the 25th of February in front of Cinderella Castle on the forecourt. Mickey's Magical Friendship Fair is back. It's had a bit of an update to put it in line with the 50th anniversary celebrations. And the big one, we all want to know when the parade's coming back. What time is the 3 o'clock parade? Probably 3 o'clock. And I can tell you, it's back into the Magic Kingdom Park from March the 9th. The beloved Disney Festival of Fantasy Parade returns. Why the 9th of March? Well, that's the anniversary that it's made its debut, 9th of March 2014. Other news coming from the rest of the parks, they've started to test the steam train coming back round, which has been paused for a while they're making the Tron attraction. That looks like it's coming back. And also, the lake where Fantasmic is, that had been drained. They were doing some renovations on that. That's been refilled. So it looks like we're waiting for an announcement on the return date for Fantasmic as well. Any more announcements? We'll keep you updated with any of the news on the podcast, of course, every other Friday, and on our socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at PodMagical, which is where you can also go if you'd like to drop me a message to be a podcast guest. Let's get back to this week's guest. It's Bethany. forget, if you want to be on the podcast, at Pod Magical is where you go. That's what Bethany did. Bethany's the guest this week. We're going to find out your perfect 24 hours in Disney soon. But first of all, let's talk food. Are you a foodie when it comes to Disney parks, or is it just food, like take it or leave it?
No, to be fair, I do love food. And now I've started going to Disney with my boyfriend. He's an even bigger foodie than me, so that's become like more important part of our holiday now. So yeah, I love the food.
It's funny, isn't it? The older you get, the more you kind of like food becomes more and more important in restaurant reservations. So where do you like? Have you got any particular favourites?
For Disney-wise, my favourite sit-down, because I love a character meal, has to be Garden Grill for the breakfast. That's my ultimate favourite character breakfast. I love that it rotates. Yeah. I love because Pluto's my favourite character, so I love that he's there and Chip and Dale are so cheeky. And obviously Mickey.
Yeah, Mickey. Mickey's there. Unfortunately, at the moment, they're not open at breakfast. I don't know why. It's just lunch and dinner, but it was a brilliant breakfast though, as well. You get so much food.
Yeah, well, I hope it's open for me.
Fingers crossed. I don't know why it's not open early, but maybe it will. Any other favourite restaurants at Disney World?
I have a favourite quick service. I always like Columbia Harbour House in Magic Kingdom, in Liberty Square. I think it's quite underrated because I think a lot of people go to like Casey's Corner and places like that. But I like Columbia Harbour House because the food isn't like too adventurous. And I always sit upstairs as well, and you get a good view of Fantasyland because I think not many people know you can sit upstairs. So it's like a bit of a hidden gem.
Or if people have got buggies or whatever, they can't go upstairs or they just can't be bothered.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's always a bit cool. And what do you order off the menu? Have you got anything you go back to at Columbo Harbour?
Yeah.
Columbo Harbour House? I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's a bit of a tongue twister. Yeah, I always get the Anchors Away sandwich, which is basically a tuna sandwich. But you know when you just want something that's not like too unhealthy when you've been like burdened with burgers and chips and everything like that? So it's just nice to get something a bit less fatty and greasy, really.
Yeah. And then you get a bag of crisps with it, and then you'll have a Mickey bar and...
Yeah. And then everything else is to make it more healthy again.
Yeah. As long as you've had something that's healthy, you can con yourself, that's fine. What about favourite attractions, by the way? Have you got a particularly favourite ride or anything?
I'm going to cheat, because I've got a favourite ride and an attraction. So my favourite ride... My favourite ride is Space Mountain, a classic. Mm-hmm. So I always love going on Space Mountain. I first went on when I was 6, and because I'm quite a tall child, I got on a lot of the rides sooner than most of the children. So that was one of my first roller coasters. So I always have nostalgic vibes for Space Mountain.
Yeah, and it's not changed since.
No, literally. And every time they announce any changes to attractions, I'm like, no, don't touch Space Mountain.
Yeah, leave that one
alone.
Yeah,
leave it as it is. But my other one, which is a bit of an honourable mention, is Country Bear Jamboree. I absolutely love that.
Classic.
And I think like the older you get, the funnier it is as well. A bit like when you watch Toy Story, because they have more adult jokes, don't they, sir?
I was going to say, when you watch it as a kid, it's quite sweet. And then when you watch it as an adult, you think, can you really say that? Because this is a little bit on the cheeky side, isn't it, Country Bear Jamboree?
Yeah, so that is definitely... I think it's a hidden one. I think when people don't really know about it, they think, oh, I'm not watching some animatronic bears sing. But when you actually go, it's definitely worth it. And I just go back every year. I can't get enough of the country bears.
It's a class. Have you met them as well? Is it Big Al and Liver Lips? They're usually lurking around there, aren't they?
I've met them a couple of times because they seem to just randomly pop up in Frontierland. I've met them a couple of times. They're great character meets as well.
Have you ever seen them doing the line dancing? I've not seen them for the last few visits, but I remember going once and suddenly everything just stopped and they just started line dancing. This music came on and there was the country bears line dancing.
No, I've never seen that. I'd love to see that though and join in, but no. I've never
maybe
witnessed
not the
that.
COVID, but hopefully they'll bring back country bears line dancing in the middle of the street. You mentioned before, like when they announce things are changing or they're scrapping things, you start to worry. Is there anything that like you really upset that they've got without?
I always really liked Great Movie Ride. That's something me and my dad would always go on because it was good, like a good break from the humidity or if there was any thunderstorms. And I just loved all the animatronics in that. So I was really sad when that went, and also not having a night parade at the moment in Magic Kingdom, because I love like the Main Street Electrical Parade or even Spectro Magic. So that makes me really sad.
We really thought they were going to bring back a nighttime parade. And we're still waiting for the daytime parade to come back at the minute, but they said it is coming back. But no news on the nighttime parade yet. And it's funny you should mention, actually, the great movie ride, because you haven't been since Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railways opened.
No, I haven't. So I'm excited to go, because I've heard really good things, but we'll see.
I love it. It's one of my favourites when I went just before Christmas.
Well, I haven't been on that or Star Wars, so I've not been on any of the rides in Galaxy's Edge, so I'm looking forward to going to Hollywood Studios to do all the new things.
So many new things since you went last time, and it was only a few years ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you your perfect Disney day then, Bethany. You've got 24 hours, stay where you want, eat where you want, do what you want. What are you doing?
Well, I'd definitely have to stay in the Contemporary just to live out my lifelong dream in case it never happens.
Yeah, because you're not paying for it.
Yeah. And then I'd definitely get the monorail. I always get the monorail. I do get the ferry on the night sometimes, but on the morning I just want to get there, so I get the monorail
Where are you going to?
Magic Kingdom.
Oh, to Magic
first.
Kingdom.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, though, Bethany, if you're staying at Contemporary, you can walk it.
Yeah, I know, maybe on the first time, but then I'll probably get so lazy after eating all the Disney food, so I have to crawl onto the monorail.
Right. Anyway, go carry on. You're going to Magic Kingdom.
Yes. And then I'd probably go have a character breakfast at the Crystal Palace buffet, because I love the Winnie the Pooh characters, but I've never been there. So I'd probably do that.
That's a great one.
If money was no object, just splash out and everything.
And if the characters are back, because the buffet is there at the minute with no characters.
Yeah, it definitely needs to have the characters for my perfect day. And then I'd probably just sit on the hub grass for a bit at first and just take in like the music and the smells and the atmosphere. And then I always go right. So I always go to Tomorrowland first, just because it's my favourite land. And I know some people say go the other way because it's quieter, but I'm stuck in my ways. So I have to go to Tomorrowland first. So then I go on all the rides, make sure I get a seat half an hour early for the parade, because I love to sit on the curb so I get to high five all the characters. And then I'd probably go over to Hollywood Studios later on, because my all time favourite thing is Fantasmic. So I'd definitely have to go see that as well, and hopefully no lightning makes it get called off
again. Fantasmic, we're still waiting for a date for that to come back, but it is coming back with a slight change. There's going to be some new things in it, but yeah, Fantasmic's coming back. Fantasmic for me is always a great first thing to do, you know, like when you land in the afternoon.
Yeah,
you can head to Hollywood Studios first. That's the first night, sitting outside keeping awake watching Fantasmic, definitely one of the best things to do. So is that how you'd round up your night, or would you go back over to Epcot just and boozing around the world or anything?
I might even go just into Disney Springs, because sometimes you just need a bit of like a cooler vibe as well, and just a bit more chill. So probably go there and go to maybe Raglan Road and get some Irish dance and a shepherd's pie, just to be like home away from home.
Yeah. See, we mentioned that on the last podcast, Raglan Road, because I've never been. So
this
is now on my list.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is now on my list to go to Raglan Road at night for shepherd's pie or whatever, a Guinness, and watch some Irish entertainment.
Yes, definitely.
Definitely. It's on my list. When it comes to planning, have you got any good planning tips?
Me and my dad always actually plan what we're doing in the parks. And we always say to make sure you plan for rest days and pool days, because it does get overwhelming at times, especially if you're going when it's really hot or in like the summer holidays. So we always do that. I mean, we always try and do Magic Kingdom on our first full day and last day, because for me, like, Magic Kingdom is just literally the most magical place.
Yeah.
So we always try and do that, and then also go to Hollywood Studios earlier on in your holiday, because like I say, my favourite thing is Fantasmic, and sometimes it can get called off for the weather. So if you plan it earlier on and it does get called off, at least you have other days in your holiday to go back and see it as well.
Yes, good point. Very good point. Well, you'll be off soon before you know it. May, have you thought about Genie Plus and paying for Lightning Lanes? Has that crossed your mind this time?
Well, that threw me off when they said they were getting rid of Fast Passes completely. It broke my heart. I thought, no, we're going to have to pay. I don't like paying for things. So I've been thinking about it, but I don't think we're going to add it on initially and just see how we go. But then for some of the main rides that we haven't done, we might try and get like a Lightning Lane, because I also haven't done Flight of Passage believe it or not. So I definitely need to do that.
It's probably worth you just paying for those, like, you know, Rise of the Resistance. I paid for a couple of times just because it was so good. That was worth it.
Yeah.
Mickey and Minnie have not been on, but I mean, if you can get there really early and queue 30, 45 minutes, it's not too bad.
Yeah, because I mean, my maximum queue is like 45 minutes. So if it's any longer than 45, I normally just don't bother. But if it's something like one of the newer rides or ones with like the longer waits, we probably will just pay per attraction, because I'm hoping the other ones might not be too bad.
What I found with Genie Plus and the Lightning Lane last time, when we had it for the day in the parks, you find yourself jumping from one attraction to a next.
Yeah.
So like, say you've got one at like your first attraction's 9:30 and then you can't book one till 11:30. You jump in the queue, but you're just kind of like then hanging around in the parks to wait for your time to come up. So you're actually, if you think about it, not really saving much time.
Yeah,
you say you're not in a queue, but you're still waiting around.
Yes, it's still the same. Yeah.
That's how I found Lightning Lane. That was my experience. Magic Kingdom was a bit different because there's a lot of attractions, but like Hollywood Studios, when you go on and you try and get your first one of the day and you want Slinky Dog, because everybody wants Slinky Dog, and you go, right, well, the first one I can get is 3:30, so that's half the day gone. And then you can't book another one for 2 hours, but you can get some like 11. You're only getting like 3 or 4 rides for $15. Like, is it that worth it that much? Or can I just get in the line and just wait?
I think because it's our first time back since all the changes have happened, I think we are just going to buy the standard tickets, see how it goes. And like I say, for the newer rides, we probably will just splurge. But
yeah,
I don't think we would benefit that much because we are going for 2 weeks. So we can always like cram in more Disney days if needed. I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, just take your time, just take in the atmosphere, especially when you've not been for a few years. It's better just to soak it all up as well.
Definitely.
Well, it's been lovely chatting to you, Bethany.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Enjoy Space Mountain when you get back in May.
I will.
It's waiting for you. They've not changed it.
Not yet.
They won't. And have a magical day, Bethany.
Have a magical day.
If you fancy joining me on the podcast one episode for a chat, doesn't matter the last time you went to Walt Disney World or how many times you've been, if you just love talking about it, come and talk about it on the podcast. Just drop me a message at PodMagical on any of the socials. If you're about to jump on a plane and head to Orlando over the next few weeks or sometime over February, the weather has been really cold. On the last episode, I went, oh, it's a bit chilly at night. Oh, no. There's been iguanas falling from trees because they've been frozen. After that frozen spell, it has warmed up a little bit. So still a bit cool at night, but we're looking around mid-20s at the moment. Crowd-wise, the crowds in the theme parks are not too bad for the first few weeks in February. We have got President's Day coming up on the 21st of February, and then the Princess Half Marathon weekend on the last weekend of February. So that usually gets quite busy. Obviously, it's busier at weekends. But during the week, the crowd should be moderate. Loads going on as well, including over at Epcot. The Festival of the Arts continues till the 21st of February, including the Disney on Broadway concert series. There's also live music on over at Universal. This weekend is the start of the Mardi Gras, so throughout the week, every night, they've got the Mardi Gras parade. Then at weekends, they've got the concert that's included in your ticket on the Music Plaza stage. Sugar Ray plays Saturday the 5th, Saturday the 12th, Diana Ross, Spare Naked Ladies, LL Cool J, Marshmallow, Becky G over the next few months. Also live music as well over at SeaWorld, where they've got the Seven Seas Food Festival. That's only Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it's select weekend nights. They've got some live music, including the lead singer of Journey, Flo Rida, and Vanilla Ice are going to be there. Any news, of course, or anything else that's going on over in Orlando, keep in touch with us on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at PodMagical. The top tip for this episode, always like to round up with a top tip, and this is something I noticed on my last trip. There are two rope drops at the Magic Kingdom if you are a resort guest. So as it stands at the minute, resort guests get in every theme park half an hour earlier. Every theme park, every day, every resort, you're in half an hour earlier. When I went to the Magic Kingdom, so the theme park actually opened at 8, which meant I could get in at 7:30, but they actually let you in earlier than that. They let you into the hub probably about 7-ish, and then they let you into a few areas at 7:30. Not all of Magic Kingdom opens at rope drop for resort guests. It's just Fantasyland and Tomorrowland. So I was in quite early, jet lag, you know what it's like being British. And I was pretty much at the front of the queue to get on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So you get to the hub and you turn right and you stood just outside the Cheshire Cat Cafe. And then at 7:30, they don't drop the rope. The cast members will walk you through Fantasyland and they'll walk you to Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I think I was one of the first people on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So I did that. And then before 8 o'clock, before the regular guests were let into the other areas of the park, I watched the castle show. And then at 8 o'clock, the rest of the park opens. So I went over to Adventureland, which hadn't opened until the regular park opened. So I then got to do Jungle Cruise. So I'd rope dropped Seven Dwarfs Mine Train at 7:30. And then at 8, I rope dropped again and did Jungle Cruise. So there's a couple of chances to do two rope drops to two sides of the park if you're at Magic Kingdom. That's my top tip for this week. Any tips that you want to share, do let me know. You know where we are, Pod Magical. Same place for all your news. If you want to be a podcast guest, give me a shout. Don't forget, we've got brand new podcasts coming out every other week. If you're new to the podcast, do give us a 5-star review. That always helps people find us. Hit that subscribe button as well so you don't miss a single episode. If you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, subscribe and then you'll find out when the next episode will be. It'll be in 2 weeks. I can tell you that now. And until then, please stand clear of the door.